Let us continue to worshiping our Lord by singing hymn number 12. O Lord, our Lord, all in all the earth. Our scripture reading comes from Psalm 19 this evening. Let us open Psalm 19. Read it together. Psalm 19. This is the word of the living God. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours out speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words, whose voice is not heard. Their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them he has set a tent for the sun, which comes out like a bridegroom leaving his chamber, and like a strong man runs its course with joy. Its rising is from the end of the heavens, and its circuit to the end of them, and there is nothing hidden from its heat. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned, is keeping them there is a great reward. Who can discern his errors? Declare me innocent from hidden faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptive sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless and innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my youth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. Let us also read the Basic Confession of Faith, Article 2, which you can find in the Forms and Prayer Book in page 153. Page 153, Article 2. The means by which we know God. We know him by two means. First, by the creation, preservation, and the government of the universe, since that universe is before our eyes like a beautiful book in which all creatures, great and small, are as letters to make us ponder the invisible things of God, his eternal power and his divinity, as Apostle Paul says in Romans 1:20. All these things are enough to convict man and to leave them without excuse. Second, he makes himself known to us more openly by his holy and divine word, as much as we need in this life, for his glory and for the salvation of his own. Brothers and sisters, last time we looked at the life of Guy de Bresse, the background of the Belgic Confession, and Article 1, there is only one God. And we will look at Article 2 today, through the lens of Psalm 19. As we just read, it's not surprising to observe there is a remarkable parallelism between the Scripture and Article 2. De Bresse summarized the doctrine of general and spatial revelation in Article 2. When we were created, we had a wonderful communication with God and with his creation. We could understand the purpose of our life without needing any other communication devices or ways of communication. However, things were completely changed after the fall. But we still have a huge need for communication, and it's still very important for us. So communication has stayed as a foundational aspect in our lives. And we are social beings also. We are communicated, have relationship with each other, to communicate with each other. That's why we are using the every opportunity that the current technology allows us to use for a better communication. Yet there is always a gap in our hearts that nothing feels it. Whatever we try and how much we try, that gap doesn't feel, because it is reserved only for God. Some people might not even realize this need to have a relationship with God. So they spend their whole life searching what was missing in their hearts. But only God can fulfill the reason of our existence and repair the disconnection. And thankfully, God pursues and wills a relationship with humanity even after the fall. Out of his love and mercy for his creation, God still communicates with us today. The Belgic Confession Article 2 says, we know him by two means. We will look into Psalm 19 to understand this two means and what does it mean for us. Now we are going to look at our text with these 3 points today to understand these two means. First, the voice of creation. Second, the voice of the word. And third, the voice of the sinner. The voice of creation communicate us the existence of the Lord. As David declares in verses 1 and 2, let us look at together again, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours out speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. The creation continually reminds us about God. Every day and every night speak us about God. And it doesn't cease to declare the glory and existence of God, even for a second. It reveals us the glory and wisdom of a creator. When we look at his creation, we are made aware of a marvelous creator. When we if the beauty of the heavens and earth, it's breathtaking, just think about how much more breathtaking the beauty of the Creator will be when we see Him face to face. He is the Creator of every perfection around us. Every perfection. He is the Creator of everything we love. He creates the beautiful sunrise and sunset. His hand raises and lowers the unmovable mountains. He dresses creatures with wonderful colors and shapes, even the smallest one, and worthless in our eyes. He is the source of every wonderful things in our lives. He is not just the source of everything, but He is also the sustainer of everything. The voice of the creation communicates us, there is a God, there is a Creator, and He is involved personally. When David wrote this psalm, he wasn't aware of the size of the universe that God created as much as we are aware of today. Yet, it was enough for David to understand the greatness and beauty of the Lord. Today, we still cannot fully understand the universe's size, but we can make better guesses. For example, our planet, Earth, is one of the planets of the solar system. The sun is a star of our solar system. And our solar system is located in a galaxy called Milky Way. And it is estimated that the Milky Way contains 100 to 400 billion stars, and at least that number of planets. To give you a better picture to size of the Milky Way galaxy, listen to this. Milky Way is around 100,000 light years across, or in other words, 600,000 trillion miles. If we want to travel from one end to another end, with the fastest vehicle we have currently, which goes 3,500 miles per hour, it takes 4 trillion years to go from one end to another. But we are only talking about one galaxy. So how many galaxies are there? We don't know exactly how many galaxies exist, but according to a modern estimate, the number of galaxies is 2 trillion. 2 trillion galaxies. And we are only talking one here. This is the creation that God created. This is the heavens that declare the glory of God and proclaim His handiwork. The voice of the creation, it's also understandable. It should even more understandable for us, since this is fall in Michigan. We have been witnessing the amazing change of the nature. As David writes in verses 3 and 4, there is no speech, nor are there words whose voice is not heard. Their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. Everything that God has created speaks us about His existence. There is a God. Nature speaks to us. Our lives speak to us. The birth or the death or a loved one speak to us. There is a Creator. There is a Sustainer. There is a Source. This is not a secret message. This is not hidden. All the people of the earth are aware of this Creator. Everyone knows. They know that there is a God because they all hear the voice of creation. In the last verse of the first part, David singles out the sun. So why he does that? He says, which comes out like a bridegroom leaving his chamber, and like a strong man runneth course with joy. it rising it from the end of heavens and its circuit to the end of them, and there is nothing hidden from its heat. In the ancient world, sun was worshipped as a deity. And maybe you remember a couple of weeks ago, we looked at the life of King Manasseh, and we read that Israelites were also worshipping sun and the host of heaven during the time of King Manasseh. But what we read in these verses, sun just something that obeys the purpose of its creation. It obeys God. It's not a deity. It doesn't have any power. But it obeys God. That's the reason David purposely singles out the sun. And the message of the sun is universal. It reaches everywhere, everywhere. There is nothing hidden from it. Everybody sees the sun, and sunlight reaches everywhere. It is universal. But why people still don't accept God as their creator and savior if the creation continually declares the glory of God? Why don't they understand the voice of the creation, even though the message of creation is universal and quite clear? Let us look to Romans 1, verses 18 and 23 together. Please turn your Bible to Romans 1 with me, because this passage will help us to understand the reason. Romans 1, verses 18 to 23. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For His invisible attributes, namely His eternal power and divine nature, has been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made, so they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks to Him, but they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for the images resembling mortal men and birds and animals and creeping things. Man suppressed the truth. Man knows that God exists, but still reject Him. Man says in his heart, there is no God. As Paul says in 1 Corinthians, natural man finds spiritual things folly. Even though humans witness the many wonders of Lord, they are determined not to honor Him. Every other option is better than honoring God. However, the natural revelation that God proclaims through its creation also comfort for us, comfort for believers. It reminds us the beauty of God and His wonderful nature. It reminds us the love of God for us, and it cares for us. It reminds us the power of God when we look at the heavens above or earth below. Even the proudest man who thinks know the most has no idea about the creation. Think about this for a moment. If you find this creation fascinating and breathtaking, think about how much more the new earth and the new heavens will be. Think about the moment you see the maker of heavens and earth, the greatest artist and our everlasting Father face to face. Although the voice of the creation speaks about the Creator, it doesn't have the message of salvation in it. That's why we need to hear the Word of God, the spatial revelation. This is the second means that Guy Debray talked about in Article 2. The first phrase in verse 7 If we translate it from Hebrew literally, it means the Torah of Yahweh. Torah is the most general term that was used in Old Testament for special revelation. And Yahweh is the name, covenant name of God. God revealed to Moses and his people. Yahweh is the God of Israel, and Yahweh is the only true God. In first six verses, David doesn't use the name of Yahweh, but he uses only Hebrew word El for God. But David switches from general term to very special term when he refers to God, as he switches from general revelation to special revelation in verse 7. And one of the most common characteristics of Hebrew poetry is the repetition. That's why we see it from verses 7 to 9. David repeats the same idea six times. There is a great parallelism in these six sentences. David talks about two things in the six sentences. First, he talks about the qualities of the law, and then he talks about the benefits of the law. Concerning the qualities of the law, David says, it is perfect, sure, right, pure, clean, and true. These qualities belong to the law. As God is perfect, sure, right, clean, and true, and his special revelation is the same. God has given us a revelation that mirrors his character. The spatial revelation is God's personal communication, God's solution to fix what has been broken in the fall. And this spatial revelation brings so many spiritual benefits. This is the second part David talks about in these six sentences. David says it revives the soul, makes the wise simple, makes the heart rejoice, enlightening the eyes, and endures forever, and it is righteous altogether. The special revelation of God, in other words, the Word of God, provides everything we need. If we need to look those benefits one by one, it revives us. It means it gives us life. It brings us from death to life. And it makes the wise simple. It humbles us. It humbles us before God. It teaches us that this is not our doing. This is not because of us, but it's because of the Lord. And it rejoices the heart. And from now on, we can hear the voice of the Creator. We can hear His voice. And Lord, our God, doesn't trick us like this world, because this world only makes us more hungry and thirsty for the truth. But our God's voice makes us joyful. And His spatial revelation is true and righteous all the time. And it enlightens the eyes, as Isaiah says, we read this word today. The people who walk in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. Because of the word of the Lord, we have seen the light of the world. And this light endures forever and righteous altogether. It never changes. We are giving the promise of the Lord. Therefore, we have a hope that no one can take it away from us. The spatial revelation that David talks about is so much more than just the general revelation. God becomes personal in our lives. And God says this in Ezekiel 36, I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put within you. God directly fixes the source of the problem. He fixes the source of the problem. He gives us a new heart, a new spirit, so we can have right communication, so we can hear the voice of the Lord. God directly points to the problem. And in the last section of the psalm, we hear the voice of the sinner. We heard the voice of the creation. We heard voice of the spatial revelation. But now, we are reading voice of the sinner. When we read, we wonder, what should be the proper response of man to this wonderful news? What man is going to say about this two revelations? Because the whole creation declares God's glory in every single moment, and God makes himself knowable personally in his word. He doesn't leave us in the darkness. He remains faithful and loving, even though his chief work, humanity, cheats on him and hates him. So what kind of response should a man could give to this wonderful news? To the gospel, we wonder as we read. And there is no surprise to read the first response that David gives is the humility. He says in Psalm 8, in a different passage, he says, "When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him? The son of man that you care for him." David sees no other option, just being humble before God. He sees God's faithfulness and love. Even he is the king of Israel, he talks himself as a servant. He calls himself a servant, which also means slave in Hebrew. Because he knows he is in a relationship, in a communication with the high king. David humbles himself to the dust. Because David knows that for his salvation is everything stored in the law. And in the last verse of the psalm, we read the second response of David. He humbled himself, and secondly, he begins to praise the Lord. Our Lord, loving kindness and mercy drive David to praise his name. David calls God my strength. This word in Hebrew means a big, unmovable piece of rock, a fortress-like rock. Because David so sure about his salvation, and he talks about God as a fortress-like stone, and he takes refuge in God. People of God, David did not know as much as we know today. He did not have the whole Bible, the full revelation. He knew that someone was going to come, the seed, because God made a covenant with him. He said, "When your days are fulfilled and you lie down with your fathers, I will raise up your offsprings after you, who shall come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. And it will be I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever," God says. David knows that this king, this savior, was going to suffer. He mentions in Psalms. He has the fragments of the truth, but not the whole truth, not the whole revelation. He doesn't know much about this coming Messiah. And New Testament also talks about it. Paul says, "The mystery was hidden for ages and generations, but now it revealed to saints." And Hebrew, the very first verse, we read this, "Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets, but in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son." David and Israelites, they knew less than us. and all Christian, we have the complete revelation, complete special revelation in our hands today. Who completed this revelation? God the Son, with His last breath, He said, "It is finished." He completed the revelation with His last breath for us. David didn't know that. Yes, now we know more about general revelation. We know that there are more galaxies. We know there are more planets. We know more. And we have the complete revelation, complete spatial revelation. But what does it mean to us? What does it mean we know more? This makes us even more responsible, doesn't it? Today we are without excuse, as Paul says in Romans 1. The whole world is without excuse. Because David didn't hear these verses in John 3:16, we know by heart. David didn't hear these verses. John says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through Him. Whoever believes in Him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God." People of God, hear the voice of creation. It is universal. It is understandable. And it continually speaks to us. Hear the voice of the Word. And respond to those voices with a humble and broken heart. God will never despise such a person. And find encouragement in this word, because you will be with your Creator in eternity. You will see Him. You will see with your own eyes, hear with your own ears. Take refuge in God, like David, and never lose your hope. Because as David says, the gospel is true. And gospel is right. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our gracious Father, we thank You for making Yourself knowable. We thank You for Your precious word. May Your Spirit engrave Your words into our hearts, so we may never forget.